Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, Dog Pound? Loaded Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, coming at you here for the next 2 hours, live from the Dog Bowl, joined by my partners in crime, Matt Wilhelm and Michael Regeye, as we break down the Browns' victory over Tennessee and put our final grades on that game. Turn our attention, of course, to the Pittsburgh Steelers in a massive game this Sunday. We'll give you some updates on the injuries. We're going to carry the Mike Pettine presser. Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram will be by at 2. And, of course, it's Mailbag Wednesday, so don't hesitate to call us or tweet any Browns questions you have to @Browns_daily and use the hashtag mailbag. We're going to first open up that mailbag around 1:30 and then again in the second hour at about 2:45. Gentlemen, great to be with both of you as the young man Robert Nelson Nelly strolls through the halls of Berea, getting more reps today. As we're going to hear Coach Pettine say, is Joe Hayden limited in practice with a hip injury?
Guys, so good afternoon to everybody.
Good afternoon.
Great to be with Browns Nation. Still kind of euphoric.
Absolutely.
From Nathan and I having a great opportunity to get together on Browns Overtime on the TV side after that big win at LP Field.
My voice is just recovering, Reg.
It's okay. It's okay, man. You kind of, through the week, hopefully we could blow it all out again on
Sunday.
Want
to. Let's
go. You know, it's funny you mentioned, though, Robert Nelson, because remember during the bye week, guys, we kind of threw out there Kaywan Williams, Robert Nelson, Mr. Martin, Johnson Batamosi. Guy, get ready, because remember during the bye week we said you may have a chance to be up. It may be your opportunity to come up. And all those kids did get those kind of opportunities, and they performed. And I think some – don't lose sight of that with regard to a team victory, Matt. We talk about it all the time. Got to be 53. Got to be 53 in the road, and the Browns went through all 53, and everybody contributed.
It definitely does. And, I mean, even that Super Bowl team that I've referenced before, I mean, it was, you know, guys going on IR, and it was just a team effort. Every single guy at different phases of the season had to contribute. It's and once you've contributed – And you validated your play and your presence on that football team, the veterans no longer look at you at that, oh, you're that rookie kid. You know, you're like, you're a contributing piece of the puzzle, and as long as you can maintain that, your respect will just continue to grow in the locker room.
There's a lot of respect for these young guys. I know talking to Deshaun Gibson yesterday on CBD, and I'd urge everybody, if you missed that interview, go get it on the app or go get it at clevelandbrowns.com. We got into a lot of stuff with him yesterday, but talked about Kaywan Williams being a former undrafted guy himself. Gip understands that challenge and just how impressed he was with what Kaywan did, the confidence they having him, while at the same time acknowledging that when an undrafted free agent rookie is making a big impact in week four, it means somebody that was drafted significantly higher, maybe eighth overall, or a veteran that was supposed to be in that role is not in that role, and how that kind of shakes down the locker room. Thought some very good insights there. One up to get you guys on one piece of injury news for sure today. We're going to be right now, Pettine is optimistic that Joe Hayden will play, but he was limited in practice today. Joe Hayden got the day off today. Billy Winn also limited. But Phil Taylor had surgery today, a little scope on his knee. He's expected back. He'll be evaluated in a couple of weeks. But Ishmaili Kitchen will get to be up here, and hopefully he can help be that big guy on that line of scrimmage at the point of the attack and help slow down Le'Veon Bell and his 5.3 yards per carry.
No question about it. That was a big issue 5 weeks ago in Pittsburgh, the cutback capabilities and the Browns not being able to get Le'Veon Bell and friends on the ground. We'll see if John Hughes is healthy enough to play as well. He's been banged and dinged a little bit, so Kitchen and Hughes probably will be instrumental without Taylor.
They definitely will. And the one thing that I want to see out of the nose tackle position is not just that big cog, meaning, okay, I'm going to take my two, you know, you guys scrape free. But what I want to see out of these guys is not losing ground, not getting pushed. You know,
right.
That way it makes it very clean for those linebackers. Those lanes are very small and they're not moving. That's the one thing that was very tough as an inside linebacker. So I'm referencing Robertson and Kirksey and Dansby in this circumstances, you know, if you giving a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who we've seen since that first game against the Cleveland Browns, you know, he'll bounce the ball. He runs a lot like Ben Tate. He'll take the ball anywhere, you know, and so I think once you can get, you know, some penetration and not get a lot of movement on whoever it might be at nose tackle, Ismaili Kitchen, John Hughes, whoever, you know, with it, it's paramount for this defense because it defines those gaps. So there's no question marks in my mind as a linebacker on this team.
You have to do that. You have to stop the run. That's going to be a theme that we're going to continue to stress with this defense. Now, last week, they did hold the running backs of Tennessee to 22 carries for 73 yards. The damage was really done by Jake Locker and Kendall Wright on that one jet sweep. So they did a good job there. But Le'Veon Bell's going to enter this game second in the NFL with 450 rushing yards, second in the NFL with 688 yards from scrimmage. It is going to be a tall task. And Ismaili Kitchen, who was only in the game in that first game against Pittsburgh for four snaps, hasn't played since, is going to have to step up. As you said, people, step up, step up, step up, next man up. It's time for the Kitch to go in there and wreak a little havoc in the middle of that defense.
That was the biggest thing that, as we know, and obviously different defensive scheme and philosophy with Ray Horton last year, but the depth allowed the Browns and Horton to be able to, you know, be a little bit unconventional at times. I mean, a lot of times, you know, this group was in a, you know, a 2-5 or a 2-6 even, a 2-6-3 look. So, and with maybe both Hughes and Kitchen on the football field. So I got to expect that that's going to be big part of the game plan this week, because it's right there for them from 5 weeks ago, guys. I mean,
yes,
they know, they saw it, and they saw how very difficult it made that football game and the hole it got them in the first half. So so let's hope that they're able to clean a lot of that up.
In my eyes, looking back at the initial Pittsburgh game, is it, as we've said, following that game, the tale of two halves. And what I would hope that Coach Pettine is doing, and these coaches and players, is going back and looking at it, you know, to see, hey, this is how bad we're capable of playing. We saw that again against the Tennessee Titans, but also too is this is how good we looked against that Pittsburgh Steelers team, and learn their tendencies and how they got up so quickly, learn what we failed to do in that first half to get down and eradicate those as soon as possible. Because again, we know that First Energy Stadium is going to be electric. Electric. I talked to Kevin Griffin down. I go, dude, your job is easy this week. There is no marketing. All you got to do is sell some tickets and get those butts in those seats, and these people are going to be crazy. So let's get out of the gates fast, and let's alleviate and eradicate that failure to start the game fast.
You got to.
It's all about sustaining now. I mean, you're coming off, yes, the euphoria of a win on the road.
You got some momentum.
Got rid of that 7-game road losing streak. Has everybody feeling good. But what do real good football teams do? They sustain, and they use that at building blocks. And so in previous past, as we know, guys, this is where the Browns would take that unfortunate large step to the rear after a success. But the good teams, the teams that find themselves playing in January, they sustain that kind of win and build off it when you get back home, against your hated rival. That's got to be bottom line this week. Bottom line.
No question. And the good news is the last time they had a big second half was week one. They came out with their best start, which was week two against the New Orleans Saints when they got up 16-3 on the Saints in that game. So you got to hope that that's what they can do. They scored 10 points that first quarter. They have 10 points in the first quarter in the other three games combined so far this season. This Browns team has been doing its work in the second half. I was looking at the breakdowns by quarter. It's ridiculous. Browns have 103 points, 67 of them in the second half, only 36 in the first half. They've actually given up 55 points in the second quarter on the season, only 30 in the second half of all four games this season total. So if you're right, come out, take that step. You're going to have the energy of the crowd. Get started quickly. Do your job. Because really, when you look at this defense and its struggles, and listen, last in the league in yards per play allowed, 31st overall in terms of yards allowed. There have been stretches, though, of every game where they have been dominant. Every single one of these games, it's just going to be a matter of putting it together for 60 minutes. And then we're going to see really how good this team can be.
You're right, and I think that, again, it's all in that tape study, and I think that the more that these coaches can edify those perfect stretches or those solid stretches of play in these players' eyes and just go, look, all 11 guys get a plus. We got a tackle. We got, you know, three guys getting an assist on this play. Me as a defensive player, when that would happen, it's like you get happy, you get goosebumps, you get giddy because you're eaten. You know, you're eating really well when everybody's getting a plus and coaches are giving away those assisted tackles and you want to fill that stat sheet, you know, so willingly, man. There's some times where when you're winning football games consistently and you're playing solid defense, man, you're standing by a pile and a coach gives you an assist because you're playing that well as a unit.
And you hate to divide a football team into units, right? But you know, it's natural. It's what everybody does, because what have we heard from the fans for the first, you know, now into 72 hours this week? Yeah, that's great, but man, I can't believe, wow, I thought the offense would be terrible this year. The offense is doing a terrific job, averaging 26 points a game. Oh, what are we going to do about the defense? We thought it was going to be dominant. So there's that tendency, regardless of how you try to get away from it, you're going to get that discussion of separating the football team into units. Coaches hate to do it. They don't like to talk about it. And the fact is that, well, it's all 53 plus the coaches. But the bottom line is, it's hard to get away from, guys. Right now, offensively, the Browns have been aces, and defensively, they haven't been as advertised. I think we'd all like it to
a little bit more balance,
a little bit more in the middle, right?
Let's go. We'll just bring up the defense to that level of the offense, no question about it. But it's interesting because, you know, when you read collision low crossers about Mike Pettine's time with the Jets, they were certainly divided, but it was the defense kicking the crap out of the offense and not the other way around so far. And I believe that this defense, there's a lot of pride there. They're going to figure out a way to get it done, because it hasn't really been. I know that there have been some things schematically we've talked about you'd like to see them do, like just protect the sticks maybe on some of those third and longs. Don't leave guys on islands. But at the same time, the players to a man have said, this is really on us. They're putting us in the right positions. We're being sloppy with our technique. We're freelancing a little bit too much. And that's where a lot of these big breakdowns have been happening, whether it's letting a quarterback out of the pocket, whether it's not tackling, getting out of your gaps, not maintaining your integrity there. So hopefully they can get it together. What I wanted to ask you, Matt, is this is pretty rare. The Browns played them week one, and now they're playing them again week six. Two pretty quick games back-to-back. Haven't even seen the Bengals, so you're going to be done with your season series here. How important is that first game tape for both of these teams in the preparations for this game? How much do you utilize that?
That's a great question, and you're using it a lot because you're still the same team. You know, who you open the season as, you've not deviated off the course. And, of course, you're more so finding your identity, but you're not changing your identity by any means. Whereas when you see a team maybe week one and then see them week 12, week 13 towards the end, it's, you know, a second-string quarterback could be starting. You've got, you know, your third running back. You've got your missing offensive linemen. They are missing players, or they're signing guys off the streets. They've got a new threat defensively, or, you know, they've been struggling, and their scheme is totally different. So this is one of those situations. They are who we think they are. They're still the same Steelers that we saw week one. We've seen the good and the bad in between. We've seen them struggle. We've seen them blow out teams before. We've seen them get beat late in a fourth quarter by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
On their home field.
Exactly.
All those things are going to be evaluated, I think. But for me personally, because watching someone else is great and you can learn a lot, but there is nothing like watching yourself and your teammates. And you can be as critical as you want to be on your performance on each and every play, on how can we fix this. You can't change another team. You can't change another team's scheme, but you can change yourself. And that's what I really look to pull from that week one Pittsburgh Steelers game.
I think there are areas that Pittsburgh doesn't look like Pittsburgh to me any longer.
No question.
Agreed.
And that's that front seven. The D-line and the linebackers, and I wouldn't think Steeler fans are doing a lot of cartwheels about their secondary either. But defensively, it just doesn't, right? Guys, look, at times, no doubt, they were to be feared. I mean, and again, and that's exactly what they wanted to do to you. Nobody was going to say that wears a uniform that plays against them, but you know what I mean. I mean, everybody knew, hey, this group is above everybody else defensively in the NFL. Mindset, capability, scheme,
physicality.
All of it. Yeah, right? I think that no more.
No.
They don't, that's not what they're about any longer. I've watched them. I try to watch every football game they play, and I don't see the same type of that we're coming to get you with that overall physicality that the Pittsburgh Steelers usually have. Brown's got to notice that, too. There's so much there for the taking, guys.
I mean, you're exactly right. And it's a team that's had significant injuries. Jarvis Jones, Shazier, Ike Taylor, they've lost people. But they have 8 sacks in 5 games. That's not a Dick LeBeau defense.
No,
to only get
not
to the quarterback 8 times. They're giving up 4.5 yards per carry, 10th most. They're giving up 5.5 yards per play right in the middle of the league. They're not elite in any one category. Yes, they're only giving up 331 yards. So that's 9th in terms of yards per game. But when you break it down on a per-play basis, they're not elites. They have not been elite. They're not scaring anybody. And this is a Browns team that
Cam
knows.
Hayward.
They know they can run the ball on this team.
Steve McClendon, Cam Thomas. These aren't the Steelers.
Right, and Brett
Kiesel. These aren't the Steelers.
Brett Kiesel was on the streets at the start of training camp. So they signed him late. We've got James Harrison signed off the streets. We've got Ryan Shazier, the first rookie starting linebacker in a very long time in a Dick LeBeau defense.
That speaks volumes.
Who's been struggling.
Right,
you know,
and who's banged up.
Who's banged up, and he's now back healthy again. But also, too, there's so many, and again, Troy Polamalu, I don't think, you know, by any means, if he goes to the Pro Bowl, it's simply because he's been there before. He is not the guy that we've seen him before.
And that's understandable. Jason Worlds, I think he's legit. He could have played on that Steeler group, you know, that we speak of with LeBeau. But, I mean, again, you look at it and you just don't see it. Lawrence Timmons, I mean, you know what they want him to be. But, I mean, I just think that you can go and impose your will on them now with this Browns offensive line and this running game.
No question, and I think the Browns did that in the first game, certainly in that second half of that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. A Pittsburgh Steelers defense, when it would get up 27-3, is going to go ahead and obliterate you and not give up 24 unanswered points to tie the game 27-27. Certainly not on their home field in a game where the Browns ran for 191 yards, 6.2 yards a carry. And I think the Browns will be able to do that once again here this week going against this Steelers team. Like I said, 4.5 yards a carry. They're giving up 10th most in the league. Big game for the Browns to run. Now, we're going to turn all of our attention to the Steelers game. Following the next segment, we're going to put a bow on this game against the Tennessee Titans when Reg, Matt, and I hand out our grades for the Browns, breaking down the units in that game over the Tennessee Titans. We'll do that when we return. We want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. And don't forget to tweet the show using the hashtag mailbag to get your mailbag questions answered at the bottom of this hour.